John 1, we'll read those first three verses together. John 1, 1 through 3, and then we'll go down to 11 through 14. Ready? Begin. I'll read these three verses together. Ready? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Then we'll go down to verses 11 through 14. I'll read the odd, you'll read the even verses. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And let's pray. Lord, we do thank You so much, Lord, that You are full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ, You are the Son of God. You are God Yourself. And I thank You, Lord, for the Scriptures that You've given us to learn and to learn more about You. Lord, I just thank You, Lord, that we are adopted under You, and we thank for the blood of Jesus Christ. I ask You, please be with us now. Would You help us, Lord, to keep our minds and hearts focused and ready to hear what You have for us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. And again, I apologize for changing the order of service today, but my dad will be going into surgery in less than 2 hours, so I'm going to preach and then run down to Winchester. Let's see here. Jennifer, who do you have beside you here?
I have my friend Christy.
I'm just glad to know you have a friend. Christy, good to have you. Man, I believe she brought three children. Super. Good to have them with us as well. And thank you for being with us. And again, I'm sorry for changing things up today, but I don't normally do that, but with an 85-year-old dad having surgery, sometimes you got to do what you got to do. And he doesn't have mom to take care of anymore, so he's got to put up with me. But he loves my wife, so I got to get her down there. And John chapter 1 is a very powerful verse and chapter. There's something about it that I want to give to you today that, honestly, I think our area, our society, our church, and our world need today. Look at verse number 1 with me again. In the beginning was the what?
Word.
Now, is that small W or capital?
Capital.
Oh, that means it's in reference to a certain thing, right? Huh. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Hang on here. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. I'm going to get my head into this yet, and I'm trying not to quote it and trying to read it, and it's getting stuck. Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, notice all three of those are capitalized, right? Skip down to verse 14. And the smaller capital, and the Word was made flesh. There are many idols in our world today. An idol is any image or statue or carving or person or god that is set up as a god. For instance, Buddha is an idol. The Shinto gods are idols. Egyptians had many idols that they worshipped as gods. The Greeks and Greek mythology, it's all about idols that were turned into gods. I'm going to say this to our guests. Sometimes people don't understand everything I say because I'm not real clear, but you'll understand this. Mary and the saints and having statues of them and praying to them is idolatry. Well, Mary was the mother of God, and if we pray through Mary, Jesus has to listen to His mother. You just elevated Mary above Jesus, and you just elevated Mary above God. It is a god. Now, I believe sports has become a god in America. There are stadiums all over our country today that are filled with tens of thousands of people while churches are shutting down. Public schools are having games and practices on Sundays. That's criminal. It's wrong, and it's become a god. Science has become a god. Mr. Fauci appointed himself as his own personal god. And who wants a god that looks like him anyway? I'm not afraid to say this. Education has become a god in America. It's become an idol. Probably the biggest idol in our country is that right there. Money. Yeah, this is supposed to represent what the credit card is, but money. Money is an idol. Say, how do you know that, preacher? Because there are men and women all over our country working today instead of going to church so that they can make a bigger house payment, have a nicer car, and have a boat, and have all the things they want, and they have to work longer hours to pay for it. See, an idol is anything you replace for God in importance and authority. God makes a statement here that sometimes we look right past, that I want you to see. Look at John chapter 1, verse number 1 again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word what? Oh, so that means that book right there is God. It is God in print to man. When we put, by the way, when we put anything ahead of what that book says, it is an idol. I didn't say it. God did. This book right here is to be the authority by which we run our lives. God made a statement, and the Word was God. These are not only the words of God, but it is God. My dad has a will that I have in my possession. Say, why? Because it's the legal authority by which to care for him in these later days. I can't change the will. Wednesday, I was there while you all were having church, and we knew we had to go through a pretty serious procedure with the endoscopy surgery and stuff, and honestly, there's only one doctor in this area that performs it, and he was there. And I had to help answer questions for my dad. Of course, one of the questions is he could stop breathing or his heart could stop while you're under anesthetic. They tell you that no matter what you're going through, and it's not something that I'm afraid of. Well, I happen to know my dad has a signed DNR, do not resuscitate. I happen to know what he's told me to do is POA, power of attorney, for him and his health. But my dad was still conscious. And he said, and the doctor looked at me, he said, what would, I said, hold on. I said, Dad, he said, what do they want? I said, well, if your heart stops, you quit breathing. He said, let me go. I want to go see Mom. I said, okay. And the doctor said, what do you do for a living? I was in my suit. He thought I was a lawyer. I said, no, I make an honest living. I said, I'm a Baptist preacher. He said, I've never seen anybody handle it the way you do. He said, you didn't change. I said, sir, I'm not choosing life and death. I said, he's still conscious. He has the right to override his DNR or POA. I said, he's mostly in his right mind. He said, shut up. I said, see? I said, he has the right while he's still conscious to make his own decision. I said, and I'll live by it either way. He said, I never see anybody do it the right way. He said, I think you're the first person I've ever seen handle this the right way. Yeah. I said, I knew what the answer was. I've seen it written in his will, but he still has the authority to override it. He said, you're exactly right. And then he said, life is not a contract. By the way, you'll hear that sermon in weeks to come. I'm working on that. You have to understand something. These aren't just words that men penned. These are the words of God. These aren't thoughts put into men that God took and turned them into a Bible. In the book of John, many of your Bibles will say the gospel according to John. No, it's the gospel according to Jesus Christ. These aren't John's words, these are God's words. Everybody doing okay? God didn't put into John's mind the words that should be penned, and he penned them because John's mind was a sinful mind, just like your mind is sinful. God didn't trust sinners to think the perfect words of God. God spake them, and holy men wrote them as a man would speak and a secretary would write them. Matter of fact, the Bible says, you go through the Old Testament a lot, you'll see, especially in the book of Ezekiel and Isaiah and Jeremiah, and the word of the Lord came unto me saying. Well, no book ever read to me. Words don't just pop out of the air. They have to be spoken. Go to Genesis 1, in the beginning. Huh. In the beginning was the word. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. By the way, that's what verse 3 in John 1 is. And all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God spoke everything into existence. It is by the authority and the power of the words of God. Because not only are these the words of God, it is God. Amen. Now, I'm going to make a statement. Anything contrary to that book is an idol. Entertainment contrary to that book is an idol. Amusement outside of that book is an idol. Anything contrary, because it is God. John 1:14 says that Jesus is the Word of God. Look at verse 14 again. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Take your Bible, turn to Revelation. Last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 19, I believe. Look at verse number 11. Revelation chapter 19, verse number 11. Let's just let the Word of God tell us who this Word is. Revelation chapter 19, verse number 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. Notice it's capitalized. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. Guess who that is? Yeah, because you go down to verse number 15. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. Oh, by the way, Hebrews 4:12 says, and the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. With it should smite the nations and shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress and fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. My friend, Jesus is the Word of God. When you start messing with the Bible, you're messing with Jesus and you're messing with God. Now, the devil's biggest tool is to try to change the Word of God. Go back to Genesis chapter 3. It amazes me how that people want to say, well, it's a good book put together by good people. No, it's God's book put together by God that men penned. Genesis chapter 3, look at verse number 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree that's in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Notice small g. Here's what the devil did. He came to Adam and Eve and said, look, didn't God say you could eat of everything? He said, well, Eve said, well, we can except for one. And he said, ah, oh, come on, God doesn't know what he's talking about. If you'll eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you could be just like God and be your own God and decide what is right and what is wrong yourself. You could determine good and evil for yourself. By the way, that's what man did. That's what the big battle has been from the first sin. We have to decide, are we God or is God God? Is it our way or is it his way? You see, when Satan came to Eve and said you could be your own God, in other words, you could be your own idol. You don't need God. You could choose right and wrong for yourself. And boy, are we living in that day today. We now have people telling you, you don't know if you're a man or a woman. Folks, two bulls don't make a cow. Two roosters don't have eggs. Sun rises and east sets in the west, and God made male and female. He made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Amen. Can I tell you something? This world wants to be their own God. Say, well, you can be what you want to be. If you identify. Yeah, try that with turkey season. Amen, brother? Go out and shoot about six hens and have DNR say, well, they were thinking they were gobblers, not hens. Yep, I get it. I'm going to make a couple statements here and then I'm going to preach real quick. Facebook, TikTok, and social media are idols that people allow themselves to take part in. I said it. People feel empowered giving their opinion. And they give it real strongly, hiding behind a screen. May I say something? Who really cares? We think because we can express our opinion publicly that we have some real authority. Right. You think... I hate to tell y'all something. If you believe everything you read on that computer or hear on the television or radio, you really have problems. Amen. And yet we continue to believe the lie of the devil from Genesis chapter 3 that you can become your own God, knowing good and evil for yourself. Well, just follow your heart. Yeah, my Bible says the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Brother Jim, we're all sinners.
Amen.
Amen. You've been sinning longer than anybody in the church. Amen. 92 years. But can I tell you something? Just because we're all sinners, why should we trust a heart that's full of sin? We're all made out of the same dirt. Miss Kim's dirt's a little darker than my dirt. But dirt's still dirt. Why do we judge each other by the color of our dirt? Because either way, it's still dirt. Why do we think that one piece of dirt's more important than another piece of dirt? Everybody doing all right? You see, we continue to believe the lie of the devil, and what we see as most important is our own God. I wonder, what's the biggest idol you have in your life today? Number one, God's first two commandments to the Hebrew people were to never let government become God. Amen. Exodus chapter 20, if you want to turn there, I'll read it out of the Bible. I'll read it to you word for word. I can quote it, but I'm going to read it so that I don't make any mistakes. But Exodus chapter 20, by the way, these were civil law. They were not scriptural law. They were not laws by which people get to heaven. The Ten Commandments had nothing to do with going to heaven. Amen. It was the constitution of the Hebrew nation. And God spake all these words. That shows you Moses didn't give us these words. Bible says, and God spake all these words. Later you find out that after he spake them, he took his own finger and put them in the stone. He wrote them with his own finger. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am jealous. I am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity upon the fathers, upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto the thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. The very first two commandments were for man not to have any other gods and not to worship any idols. When it came to the Hebrew nation, he said, the first two things are this: don't let government become your God. Don't put man above God. Let me tell you something. In America, when COVID hit, we found out that government became God. Churches shut down by the millions, but this one didn't. Well, the governor made a rule. Yeah, his decree is not legal and binding. I called the governor's office and the attorney general's office and made sure. They said, Pastor, you're absolutely right. These rules don't apply to churches. Amen. Matter of fact, Mr. Morrissey said, you're one of the few preachers that understands law. I said, well, I'm just making sure. And I said, I need to know what trouble I'm in. Stay in open. He said, none. If you do, call me. I said, whew. Now, hang on for a second. Everybody ran and hid. Everybody went on Facebook Live. And look how many churches didn't open back up after COVID. I said this when COVID hit. I said it publicly. I said it privately. It was a test of the devil himself to find out how much salt is left in America. And America is ceasing very quickly of being a Christian nation. God knew that man would turn government into an idol. And we have turned government into an idol. Our forefathers understood this. They gave us a constitution and immediately then gave us a Bill of Rights. The constitution limits the people. The Bill of Rights limits the government. Now you have people in governance that is trying to tell you that we have to live by the Bill of Rights, but they don't. Well, I hate to tell you something. The government is supposed to be limited, not unlimited. Government is here for three purposes. To protect your person, to protect your property, and to protect your freedom. Our government's trying to take all that away. Just like Thomas Jefferson said, any government big enough to give you everything you want is powerful enough to take everything you have away. The penman of the very Constitution by which we live said, don't let it get too big or it'll take everything away that we fought for. And look what's happening today. By the way, nowhere does the government have the authority to educate children. Amen. I'm going to say it. You're going to get tired of it. But look at the mess on college campuses right now against the nation of Israel. And I'll show you what your college campuses are teaching young people. They're also teaching them that socialism is a better form of government than capitalism. And it would be a cold day where the booger man lives. And if you don't know where that's at, see me after church. It would be a cold day where the booger man lives before I put my kids in government paid education. Number one, it's unconstitutional. Actually, that's number two. Number one, it's anti-God. God said, learn not the way of the heathen. I'm not saying if you go to a government school that you're of the devil. But you better keep yourself in church under the preaching of a mad Baptist preacher every once in a while just to keep you straight. Because every one of you that are, especially at the college level, know what I'm talking about. The old preacher's not just blowing a stack because he's got a burr on a saddle. I'm going to make a statement here. Hang on. You think you're mad now? You're going to kill somebody in a second. Spring break, sex education, learning new pronouns, and prom have done more to destroy the morality of our nation than anything else. I said it. I could solve the drunken drug parties that we have on college campuses. Anybody caught with it is expelled forever. Why in the world are college students at the age of 18 and 19 years old getting drunk and it's not legal to drink till 21? Amen. The answer is not to lower the drinking rate age. The answer is to make people live by the law. Yes, everybody doing okay? You say, well, how do we enforce that? It takes leadership. It means if somebody's caught getting drunk and they're not of legal age, they're taken to the police department, charged, and kicked out of college.
Yes, sir.
Solve that problem in a hurry. Government paid education has become an idol.
Yes,
we believe whatever the teachers in the public school systems say. Well, I tell you something, Grace Baptist Church School is not following the public school system. I'm not following their schedule. I'm not following their curriculum. I'm not just putting a new name on it and using the same garbage. If you go to the trash can and what they put in the trash can, why would we get it out and use it here? If it's not working there, giving it a new name doesn't mean it works here. Everybody doing okay? You say, preacher. Yeah, but that's why my kindergartners can read. Not my third graders, my kindergartners. That's why 2 + 2 will always equal 4, not 5, no matter how they figure it out. And if they fail, they fail. That's why 80% is the last passing grade in our school. In most schools, that's the last B. No, that's failure here. Everybody doing okay? I don't think that's very fair. No, but look what they're putting out and what we're going to put out. Our kids are going to learn that a boy is supposed to act like a man, not a woman. And a young lady is supposed to act like a lady, not a man. I have no problem with that. Well, but what about sports, preacher? Sports are so important. If it's so important, why can't people get along at work? Amen. If sports are so good at teaching team philosophy, how come nobody gets along at work and everybody's been involved in school sports? Right. Hello. Amen. I feel like I'm speaking to nobody. Science that directly opposes the Bible is an idol. Evolution is an idol. It's a religion. God did not create the world and millions and millions of years passed and a little amoeba decided it was lonely and split into two. And they got tired of being just two and they had babies and had four. And then on and on, and eventually it started swimming and grew legs. Decided it could breathe on top of land, came up on land, but he couldn't stand up, so he had to lose his tail. Now he's swinging in the trees, teaching in public education. That's about the sense of it. Number one, it doesn't follow the law of science. Science says it has to be observable and repeatable, and evolution is neither. Doesn't even follow the definition of science. And yet we suck it down like we believe it. Everybody doing okay? Global warming is not science. Okay, I came up through school in the 70s. Shut up. I was born in the 60s and shut up again. But may I say something? I remember back in the early to mid 70s, they were teaching in the schools that we were about to go into another ice age. How many of you all heard that when you were a kid? Raise your hand. See, I'm not the only person that heard that. They were talking about going into another global ice age. Now we're all going to burn up. And may I give you a little bit of science lesson here, physics? Even if all the ice melts at the North Pole and the South Pole, we are not going to flood the world. Do a simple science experiment. Fill a cup with ice and then fill it the rest of the way with water. When the ice melts, the water level goes down, not up. Well, if all that water melts, then the coastline is going to flood. No, it's actually going to recede. Everybody doing okay? So don't believe what they're telling you. This alphabet soup crowd, the MICKEYMOUSELGBT garbage. Folks, you know, at the age of 3, I understood I wasn't supposed to follow mom into the bathroom, but follow dad. It didn't take me very long. I can distinctly remember telling my mom, I ain't going in there, I'm going with dad. I couldn't have been more than about 3, 3 and a half years old, but I wasn't doing that. That ain't the same kind of place I'm used to going. Everybody doing all right? When the CDC has to change the definition of a vaccination to support a government. Ouch. God's first two commandments to the Hebrew people were, thou shalt have no other gods before me, we should not have idols. Then why are we allowing education and science and government to be our God? Number two, I got to be careful and remember I started preaching earlier. Whew, y'all are in trouble. Number two, we have to be careful because religion can become an idol. I'm going to make a statement here. Religion is man-made, not God-made. Do you know there was only one denomination of church in the New Testament? When it talks about the church, Mr. Schofield's wrong. It's not a universal, invisible church. Amen. No, there was only one church. It was started by Jesus. And a man named John the Baptist baptized him. That wasn't his last name. That was the only church that was around in the New Testament. Well, what about the Catholics? They didn't come on board till 330 AD at Constantinople. There was 300 years of nothing but a Baptist church. Do your history homework the right way. Don't trust Wikipedia. Religion is man telling God how God has to accept man. Christianity is, thus saith the Lord. Amen. We'll accept what God said, not what man says. Religion is abusing the Bible, not using the Bible. Did you hear that? Religion is the abusing of the Bible, not the using of the Bible. Here we go. Hang on. Most religion has even rewritten their own Bibles so that they can feel better about how they tell God what God has to do. May I say something? When man starts rewriting the Bible, they're following exactly what Satan said in Genesis chapter 3. You can decide what's good and evil for yourself. You don't need God's words. You can decide what God said on your own. Well, I hate to tell you something. That's changing Jesus, and that's pretty dangerous. Religion wants to bring God down to man and let man be his own God. Christianity says, die to yourself, be crucified, and obey what God said. By the way, we're not supposed to follow church doctrines and church books of discipline. We're not supposed to meet every 3 to 5 years with a bunch of cardinals or Mets or anybody else. That was supposed to be funny. Some of you caught that, some of you didn't. Slow freight, amen? Social Security joke. Don't get it till you're 65. But anyway, we're not supposed to meet every 3 to 5 years and decide what we're going to change that we believe. It's a sad day when the Methodists have to split themselves because they don't even agree on sodomy. And by the way, there was a day when the Methodists taught right about salvation. They were just wrong on baptism. Now, they're no different than anything else. But that's what the book of Revelation talks about with the mother of harlots. Mother of harlots is the Catholic Church, and the harlots are everybody that came out. Say, what was that? The Reformation in 1500s. Presbyterians, the Methodists, Pentecostal, Church of God, Church of Christ. All of those came out of the Catholic Church. Those are the harlots of the mother of harlots. None of those go all the way back. All of those are part of the Protestant Reformation. Do you realize that Martin Luther killed more Baptists than the Pope did? Everybody doing okay? What do you think the catacombs were for? They were killing Baptists left and right. You see, we're not supposed to change the doctrines. God said that this is my word. I change not. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he is the word of God. Any religion we put above what God says is an idol. Thirdly, and I'll finish quickly, this is why the King James Bible is such an issue. We read in John chapter 1, verse number 1, in the beginning was the word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in verse 14, and the Word was made flesh. Turn to 1 John chapter 1. We're going to turn to a couple scriptures very quickly here. 1 John chapter 1. And notice some of the wording here that is much like two passages we already read. 1 John, right before the book of Revelation, has five chapters, and then 2nd and 3rd John after it, and Jude and Revelation. Yes, I did know that. 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the what?
Beginning.
Huh. In the beginning was the
Word.
In the beginning God created. Isn't it amazing how all three of those verses go together? That which was from the beginning, which we have what?
Heard.
Oh, so it's talking about words, right? Which we have seen with our eyes, the written word, and looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it. The word manifested there means made flesh. And we have seen it. Who was it? Jesus. And bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is being led by the Spirit in the wilderness, be tempted of the devil. The devil comes and tempts him, and he says, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now listen to me. Not only is Jesus the Word of God, not only is he God, but he said that man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. There must be an every word Bible somewhere, or God is a liar. Correct?
Amen.
All right, hang on. Turn to Psalm 119. Turn to Psalm 119. Right smack dab in the middle of your Bible. It's actually the middle chapter of the Bible. Psalm 119, look at verse number 1. Look at verse number 89. Psalm 119, verse 89. Mark this, look at this, forever. So for how long?
Forever.
O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. So how long has the word of God been around?
Forever.
How long will the word of God be around?
Forever.
That means for the English speaking people, it is the King James Bible. I'm gonna make just 60 seconds worth of very complicated talk and bring it down simply here. The King James Bible was brought to us by the Texas Receptus, which means a received text. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew, the New Testament in Greek. You say, why? Hebrew was the actual Hebrew language of the Old Testament. Greek was the universal language of the entire middle part of the world under the Greek Empire. The Greeks brought one language to all nations of people, and even in the beginning of the Roman Empire, when Jesus was born, the Roman Empire was speaking Greek. It was a universal language that all understood, much like English is today for much of the world. You'd be surprised, probably about 70 to 75% of the world speaks English. Or at least has it as a second or third language. Now, that means this. We have the received text. The Catholic Bible comes from what they call the Latin Vulgate texts. The word Vulgate means vulgar. They were corrupted by people. They were brought forth by people and changed to match the vulgarity of Constantine. Because Constantine wanted a religion and a government to merge to be one. That's why the Vatican is its own country and the Pope has powers politically around the world. The word Catholic means universal. All one. Now, I'm not going to get into the Masoretic texts and all the other things. I could sit here for hours and bore you to death with big words that you don't understand that doesn't mean anything. Do me a favor. I've been preaching for almost 44 years. I've studied it. I wouldn't give my life to something that's a lie. The King James Bible is the Word of God to the English-speaking people. It is the only Bible not allowed into communist countries. And I just happen to know enough about it to say, just trust me on this one. I'm not trying to. But when Mr. Schofield in the Schofield Reference Bible says in 1 John 5:7 that it talks about in there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. There are three that bear record on earth, the Word, the Spirit, and et cetera. He says in his notes, he says that these have been inserted and have no real authority. Well, Mr. Schofield is as wrong as the stinking devil. Oh, he's a Bible scholar. He also sat on the board for the Revised Version in the late 1800s and early 1900s. And if you look throughout the Schofield Reference Bible, you'll see in his notes statements that are RV, which means Revised Version, and he replaced that into the King James. Mr. Schofield is no more a theologian than I am a brain surgeon. Anybody that's wrong on the Bible is not a theologian. That's just one place. I could take you to thousands in his notes. I'm not saying it's wrong to have a Schofield Bible, but just don't read his notes. The Bible portion is fine. His notes are not. Everybody doing okay? We don't need to change God's words to make them easier. Don't you think a God that created us knows how to give us words we could understand?
Yes, sir.
Why would God hide his words and judge us by his words if we couldn't even find what the words were?
Amen.
I'm going to make a statement here. I'd almost be okay with people that changed the Bible if they really believed that what they changed it to was the Word of God. But they don't. Well, we think it's a little easier to understand. We think it's a little, keywords, we think. We've made it easier. We've made a gender neutral Bible. We've made a queer Bible. We've made this Bible. Well, may I say something? Those are man putting man's name on God's words, and it's wrong. There must be an every word Bible somewhere, or it's not God's. How could God expect us to keep his word if he didn't give them to us? People are not to decide what we like best. We're to read the one God gave us and obey it. There are some things in that book I don't like. I'll tell you why, because I'm a sinner. Everybody doing all right? Preacher, I can't believe you said that. Well, I'm just being honest. Isn't it amazing? They think a fundamentalist has no brains, but they have to have an easier Bible to understand, Brother Steve. Oh, you're just one of those dumb fundamentalists. Okay, why do you have to have an easier Bible? I don't need the Precious Moments pictures to tell me the story. Amen, Brother Bob. Yeah. I knew I picked the wrong person. You got to have your glasses on to see them, though. Now, wait a minute. Isn't it amazing? We pick and choose what we want. We even have to have a Reader's Digest condensed version. And they want to say, I'm the stupid one? Well, all those these and thous, it's just so confusing. Okay, thee means you, thou means you. Ye means you. That was real hard, wasn't it? In 12 seconds, we cleared up the whole thing. Yeah, no pictures needed. By the way, let me say this and I'll quit. That means man's way and religion's way to heaven is idolatry. When we say we have to do certain things in our body to hopefully achieve eternal life, we've just turned our way into an idol. We don't get to heaven the way we want. We get to the heaven the way God says.
Yes, sir.
Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men. God says that the Bible is of no private interpretation. It's not how you see it. It's how God wrote it.
Amen.
You see, all of us have problems with our eyes. Eventually, everybody's going to need glasses. Or you're going to cheat and get surgery, and then you're still going to need your glasses. Anything that is contrary to what the Bible says, well, preacher, as I see it, I don't give a rip. What did God say? Well, preacher, I just feel, don't care what you felt, what does God say? Somebody comes to me and says, preacher, I feel like, I'll say, okay, book, chapter, and verse. You always do that, preacher. Yeah, book, chapter, and verse, because I'm bound by that, because that's what God is, not your feelings and not my feelings.
Amen.
When it's your loved one, and you have to make the decision, do we resuscitate or not? Say, preacher, that's such a hard decision. No, it's not. Already been written. I've helped make that decision thousands of times. It was no harder for my dad than it was anybody else. None. I put zero thought into it. On December 16th, when I called the hospital and told them to take my mom off life support, I didn't struggle with the decision. Say why? Because it's a decision I've helped many, 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 many others made, and I made it. Preacher, do you feel bad about it? Not in the least bit. My mama quit struggling and went to eternal life. She just really started living. She passed from death to life, not life to death.
Yes, sir. Right.
Why should I be upset? I don't think we ought to play God and decide when somebody dies either.
Amen.
In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. By the way, that's why they took God out of the public school system in the 1960s. Because education wanted to be its own God. That's why they're talking about taking in God We Trust off our money. That's why they're talking about kicking God out of all the state houses and courthouses and everywhere else in America. But it's okay to protest against Israel? Maybe we ought to protest against these protesters. Say, how do we do that? Get your Bible out. Take the gospel to them and start preaching the gospel. That's what it's all about. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who'd say, preacher, if I died today, I'm 100% sure. I know for sure I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I know for sure I'd go to heaven. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You may put your hands down. Who'd say, preacher, if I died today, I don't know that for sure, but I'd like to know it someday. I'll not call you out. I'll not embarrass you. Say, preacher, I don't know that for sure, but I'd like to know. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon day, something I needed. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Many, many, many hands.